We turn to the second of the Psalms which we read, Psalm 42. We shall read again the last verse of the Psalm. Psalm 42 at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Amen. In this psalm, the words we find at the end of the psalm are more or less a repetition of words we have in verse 5. And you will also find very similar words in the last verse of the following psalm, Psalm 43. And there is reference to the psalmist being cast down. Is that not a common experience for the Lord's people? To be cast down, or at least to be discouraged, and for that to continue for a season. It may be the situation in the world, fallen world. We witness man's inhumanity to his fellow. Situation in our own nation, such a departure from the things of God, and especially the younger generation being largely ignorant of the truths of the Bible. Maybe in our own family, problems there that weigh us down. But certainly it may be the individual. These things will impact upon the individual believer. And it can be the situation of the child of God in a world of trial and temptation, where the conflict seems to be unceasing, recognizing that the great adversary is Satan himself. He will seek to exploit every difficulty we face to discourage us, and indeed to rob us of our hope, to give us that sense almost of despair. Things are not getting better, they never shall. It'll be like this for me until I reach my end, and indeed I wonder at my end because of how I am, that I am no better than I am, always facing temptation, feeling so weak, sinning often, not being fruitful, not being faithful to God. A common experience for the Lord's people, and Satan at our right hand. And he's trying to prise us away from the Lord. But we find, as the psalmist found, that there is a lifting up. God lifts up his people. It's not man's doing. You cannot lift yourself up. You're too weak. Your faith is weak. It is by grace. It is by the Lord coming to you for your help. And the Lord comes to you, as he did with the psalmist, when you lift your voice to him and cry to him, even from the depths. And you may be thinking, in a time of great discouragement, there's nothing I can do. But you can cry to God. You can send up a petition, even if it's not framed in words that seem to make sense to you, but you are expressing what is in your soul. And God is aware of that. And he has an understanding of your condition. And the Lord is always near at hand. He may seem to be far off, but he is near at hand. And he loves his own. And he is ready to come to their aid. He may do it through his people, through your fellow believers. because they too have known discouragement, and they can come alongside you and encourage you, perhaps with something from Scripture. And then the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. He is, after all, the Comforter. Well, to consider the words in our text, and perhaps particularly the words at the middle of the text, "Hope thou in God." Hope thou in God. Firstly, with God's help, to consider the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" There is a literal sense to the words we have here, cast down. It is to be bowed down. Bowed down. Now you could think of that physically. Bow down with your face toward the earth, not able to lift up and to look above. Somehow you are in heaviness, in grief of soul, and you hardly have the faith, the strength to look upward. To look upward is what you need to do. To look to God. Hope thou in God. But when you are discouraged, you will not even do that. Not of yourself. You're taken up with things here below. You're taken up with the things you can see and hear. These things are in your thoughts continually. And there's the tendency almost to forget the portion that you have in the Lord, in Jesus Christ. And we should always be thinking upon our inheritance, the inheritance God gives to his adopted children. And he gives them that inheritance in his natural Son, his eternal Son, Jesus Christ, who is their Redeemer. And even to think of that, that Christ is my Redeemer, that should surely encourage us. But perhaps we're beginning to wonder whether Christ is our Redeemer. Our assurance is gone. And the devil has encouraged us to think along these lines. Well, if you were a child of God, surely the things that are happening to you would not happen to you. How could a God who is good do these things to his children? And that is a real matter for us to ponder. Hard things, tragic things, happen to God's people. Could not God keep us from these things? Certainly he could. But God, for his own wise purposes, often directs events such that his people, even those who are walking uprightly, and those who love Jesus Christ and seek to serve him, experience great hardship, many afflictions. They're wounded within. They're brought low. They seem to know misery of a sort. It can be because of external things. We've been taken up, it seems, of the last week or so with news of the conflict in Ukraine. To try to imagine what it would be like to be caught up in such a conflict, and to be in fear of one's life in many cases, moment by moment. And that would surely, for most, have an effect of causing them to be very discouraged. But it can be more internal because of the state of one's soul one's heart. We profess to be Christians, and yet we seem to be so barren spiritually. We seem to do very little for the Lord. If we ask ourselves, where is our love for Christ who so loved us? The reply we must give is, I sometimes wonder where my love is. It's not as it ought to be. And surely if I was a Christian indeed, I would be much brighter and better and showing my love to Christ and willing to do more in his service. And we find the psalmist asking himself a question. He's having a conversation with himself. And there is nothing wrong with that, because it can be, as we shall see, a productive thing. But the question is there. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and disquieted within me? He's lacking peace, lacking a restful spirit, a calm spirit. There's trouble within. And if you go back to the opening verses of the psalm, there is a desire for God there, but there are tears also. Why? Because others are saying to him, where is thy God? You seem to be so earnest, so sincere, and yet God is not with you. God is far from you. There's a longing within, but God does not seem to be present in the way he once was. And so the psalmist finds himself in difficulty. But he is at least asking the question, why? It is good to ask that question. The psalmist, in asking that question, will find the answer. Because his desire for God is such that God will reveal the answer to him. Scripture is where we will find the answer when we are discouraged and cast down. Scripture never changes its everlasting truth. And the God it reveals to us never changes. Without variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so God is our rock and the rock of our salvation. And in asking the question, why is my soul cast down? We will get the answer. The Lord will work in our heart, our mind. From his word, light will break forth, light in our darkness, and he will show us why we are as we are. And more, he will restore our soul. There is a night season, but joy comes in the morning when the Lord returns in such a way as to give encouragement, to quicken us anew and to grant us rest of spirit, where before there was trouble. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That is the question. Then we have the answer. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. We might say that God is always the answer when the believer is in any difficulty. The answer is not man. It is not self. There are no resources there. There is no strength there. And we're brought so low at times that we understand that. Other times we seem to do well. Everything is fine. And we perhaps begin to imagine at such times that we can cope, we can manage with whatever situation we might face. And then the Lord brings us into some situation and we realize, no, by ourselves we cannot manage. And we're cast upon God. And here is the psalmist. And he is casting himself upon God. Hope thou in God. That tells us that however low the believer may go, spiritually, to whatever depths he may sink, and it's there in the psalm, deep calleth unto deep of the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Now there is a messianic element in this psalm. There are things here pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially when we learn of those waves and billows going over him. Christ experienced the wrath of God to the full there on the cross of Calvary. What you read there is true also of the Lord's people. At times, true of David. And that is an evidence of the soul being in great difficulty. Yet, faith is not altogether gone, because he can say to himself, hope thou in God. He believes in God. He trusts in God. And from that faith proceeds hope. It is as though he's saying to himself, well, I do not know why things are as they are. I do not know why I am brought so low. And while I feel so weak and weary, hope thou in God. God is in this. And God will lead me through this. And you see the hope there. For I shall yet praise him. That is a word of hope. That is the psalmist able to say, that what I have now, what I endure at the present, will pass. And only the believer can say such a thing. Only the believer has a ground to be able to say such a thing. Those of the world cannot promise themselves that things will get better. They may, in terms of their providence, but they may get worse. For the believer, things will get better because God is present with his people. He's sustaining them and he will bring them through their difficulty. And even though it may be long lasting, and even though until the end of their days here, they will experience much tribulation, yet through that tribulation they enter the kingdom. They are subjects of the King Jesus Christ. Christ is our King, subdues us to himself, and he restrains and conquers all our enemies. Christ is ruling and defending his people in this world. And their enemies can only do what they are permitted to do. And the Lord will even turn dark providences to the good of his people. He will use these things in their humbling and in their sanctification. And at the end is the promised glory. The promised glory. Well, we thank God at night seasons for his people in this world generally are not that long lasting. Sometimes there is a grief that is born for many a year. But with that, there is the Lord and his grace. There is hope in God. There is the assurance of his love. Faith is never at an end. Hope is never extinguished. Why is that? There's a simple reason. Union with Christ. We are united to the risen Redeemer. We belong to Christ, our faithful Savior. And he, having risen from the dead, bestows upon his people a life that has no end. The soul lives in Christ, and the soul being alive in Christ, and that life sustained by Christ, the grace of God in Christ, faith is never at an end. Hope never disappears. Christ is at God's right hand. He's on the throne. He's head over all things to his church. He watches over each one of his people. And he keeps them unto life eternal. This is God's covenant. God will not lose any of his own. He cannot lose any of his own. If God should lose a single one of his people, what of God? The God of truth. The God who's made that promise. It can never be. And so however low you may go, know this, that God will not cast you off. He never will. Hope thou in God. Continue to hope. Seek from the Lord that he would increase your faith and thereby increase your hope. Was it not Christ himself who said to the disciples, have faith in God. Only believe. Faith is the root grace. It is the key grace. Because faith unites us to Christ. And so from Christ we receive and enjoy all the good that God has to give to his people in terms of his salvation for their souls. I shall yet praise him. Wonderful words of hope. There in the depths, he has that encouragement. We have it too, because these things are written for our learning. You love the Psalms. We all love the Psalms. Because we find there in David, one like us. And you may be saying, I'm not like David. I'm nowhere near what he was. Faithful, godly, and glorifying God. But you have to look at the whole picture. You have to learn from the whole of his life. You have to read all the Psalms. Penitential Psalms. Psalms, when he expresses himself in terms of an abhorrence of the sin that is in him and the sense of his own unworthiness. The truth is that David was just flesh and blood, as we are, a man of like passions, as we are, a sinner saved by grace. And so we can all learn from the psalmist. Finally, the deliverance. Who is the help of my countenance and my God? He can end there. He can speak in this way of God. The God who seemed to be far off and to have left him in his difficulty and in his distress. But as he asks the question, as he reasons with himself, he has that sense that God is still his God, the God of covenant salvation. In the darkness, there is something of the light still shining and confidence returning. God is his God and his Saviour. Some persuasion of that. The Lord Jesus, as you know, had a question, as we learn of it at the beginning of Psalm 22. It's a question that is related to what we are considering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? There was desolation there. We may put it as strongly as that. Christ, as the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, was never rejected by God, but there was a sense of forsakenness. And Christ had that because all the comfort he had from God was withdrawn. That was so on the cross. It had to be that way. Christ had to experience this desolation. And the darkness over the earth for those 3 hours reflected what was taking place in the soul of Christ. Christ had to experience that desolation, that separation from the comfort of God, in order that his people should not have to experience it in that way, to that extent. Christ made reconciliation for the sins of his people in that darkness, bearing the wrath of God. And so his people, now reconciled to God and able to call God their Father, they will not know banishment. They will not be cut off. They may be brought low. They may cry from the depths. But the Lord hears. And the Lord answers. And the Lord in his time returns. Turns to their soul with peace and comfort and joy anew. God, the health of my countenance and my God. Well, to remember that. This is the truth of God's word for each and every one of his believing people. He is our salvation. He is our God forever. And he has his own way of dealing with us, to teach us how dependent we are upon him for our joy. And if we try to seek it in the world, if we go after the pleasures of this world, then the Lord may indeed, for a time, leave us to those things till we realize and repent, even with shame, that our joy is not there. It is in the Lord. And may we be found hoping in God, saying to our own soul, hope thou in God, and depending upon him, not on anything else, in every time of difficulty and discouragement. We shall see the light again. We shall know joy once more. God is our God and the God of our salvation. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we bless thy name for the many times that thou hast restored our soul. Often it has been our sin which has brought us low, and brought us into a certain darkness. It has also been the afflictions we have borne, the difficult situations we have found ourselves in and perhaps are yet in some measure. But may we remember always to trust in thee, to be guided by thy word, and to maintain our hope and confidence in thyself as the God of our salvation. Help us then, and may we give glory to thy name by honoring thee as our God. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.